God's put something on your heart, let's go do it. Let's see your Bibles this morning. See your pens and your bullet, your lesson plan. Get your lesson plan out. You guys ready to hear from God? Okay, I hope so. I hope so. A couple of things I want to pray for before we start. If there is anyone in the sanctuary or any of the overflow rooms that is in the military, whether you're leaving or not, we would like you to stand up because we know a lot of people are leaving town. If you're in the military, stand up. Wow. Stay standing. Stay standing. Amen. Stay standing. Stay standing. Here's what we want to do. And if you're in the overflow rooms, we want you to stand up, please. Stay standing. Don't sit down. We want to pray for you. And we appreciate our freedom. And it's only because of the military enables us to have the freedoms we have. And a lot of them are already over there. 100-something thousand is over there, and many more are going. And going to literally put their life on the line so we can have the freedoms we have. So we need to appreciate them. We need to pray for them. And I want to encourage all of y'all who are standing, God is going to be with you, and he wants to use you even there. Even when your life is on the line or whatever's going to happen. We hope that never happens. Actually, we hope the war never happens. Let it end peacefully. But if it does, there's going to be a lot of people there scared to death. And may God use you to show them the truth. And may they see God in you, that you're not worried. You know, you're not worried. If something's going to happen to you, nothing you can do about it. You got to do what you got to do. So don't worry about it. Just going to be worried about, am I obeying God today? And so we're going to pray for them. If you're around anybody standing up, just put your hand on their shoulder, their arm, their back, and we're going to pray for them. Lay hands on them. As your hand represents the hand of God. So just grab them. They're like, oh my gosh, this is my first time. If you get to shaking and start getting all faint, just know it'll be all right. It'll be all right. There's a seat behind you. It's just falling it. Not only kidding. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for all these people. We thank you that they're in church. We thank you that you are going to use them in a mighty way. We pray, Lord, that this trip that they're going to take, or even if they're staying here, at the situation that exists in the world today, would draw them closer to you. And we pray that you would use them in the lives of many, 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 countless other people in the military who don't know you. We pray that these men and women would represent your love and your forgiveness over in the Middle East or wherever they're deployed. We thank you for them, and we pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Many of the videos, amen. Many of the videos that you see, all the Miles Ahead videos that you see of the crusades that we've done, they're great videos. And the guy who edits those videos is a guy named Barry Yee. And Barry Yee was in a snowmobile accident yesterday. He crushed one of the vertebrae in his back. He's not paralyzed. He's going to come home today probably. He's up in Utah. But we're going to pray for him because I was talking to him yesterday, and he was telling me how his snowmobile went straight up in the air. He was like 10, 15 feet up, and he just does all that stuff. Snowmobile, jet ski, snowboard, he's the ultimate play guy. And his snowmobile went straight up in the air, and instead of it coming down him, he pushed it away from him, came down and landed and crushed one of the vertebrae. Luckily, he's not paralyzed. He's not having any spinal damage, so he may have to have surgery in his back, but at least he's going to be fine. So I was talking to him yesterday. He sounded fine. I was like, good, at least. Now my prayer is that they feed him, because that brother, he's like 5'5", and he eats like twice as much as I do. And he is so happy when he eats. You ever see people like that? They're just like, literally, they're smiling. That's how he eats. So when I was talking to him yesterday on the phone, I was praying for him. I said, Lord, I pray that the hospital has food for this brother, because if they don't, they're going to be in trouble. So he told me he's on an IV diet. I was like, oh, my goodness, they're going to put a hose in your vein. That brother wants to eat. But he's a good guy, and when he comes back, well, he does amazing work. He's done most of all our videos. He's been with me for many years, and he's a great guy. So let's pray for him and pray for our service. Lord, we thank you for Barry, and many people don't know him, but they see his work, and his work has brought tears to many of our eyes, seeing kids, those testimonies of kids all over the world getting saved, and we just thank you for him and pray that you would supernaturally heal him. He has so much faith, and I know he's sitting up there smiling, telling all the nurses that you're going to take care of him. And I pray that you would heal him, that you would get him back working and doing what he loves to do. But most of all, I pray his faith would just explode because of this accident. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Is everybody happy today? Is anybody not happy today? Over the last few months, I've been having, I've been more sensitive to conflicts I've had with several people. And these conflicts has caused me to either argue with them in my heart, talk about them, wake up in the middle of the night, mad, burdened, critical, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's been, and at times, very distracting, very tiresome. And then one day, the Lord whispered in my ear, and what does that mean? That God's peace came over me, and I heard these words, "Let it go. Forgive whatever you think they did to you and love them." I was like, what? Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Oh, no, God, that's not fun. They did this, and I'm right. He says, nope, forgive them, let it go. And I step back. I mean, of course it's biblical, of course it's the right thing, but I'm human just like everybody else, and I got issues just like everybody else, and struggle with all that stuff, and I'm thinking, okay, God, all right, I'll let it go. And as I was saying that, and I was saying it not only with my mouth, but with my heart, the burden was gone. You ever walk up a mountain? There's a show, I don't remember the name of it, these two couples, this couple breaks up, and they're twins. Anyway, this lady's walking through the woods, and these little kids are trying to get these people back together. Thank you. Parent Trap. Everybody know that movie? I've seen it like 9 times. My kids always want to watch it. It's so funny. And this lady's walking through the woods, and they keep putting rocks in her backpack without her knowing it. And it's getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And then she gets there and finds 20 pounds of rocks in her backpack. And, you know, when we carry burdens of unforgiveness with people, anger, resentment, it's like weight. And it doesn't do any good to carry it. You gain nothing, lose everything. In this story we're going to look at, Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive somebody? Now I want all y'all to think of someone that you need to forgive. Someone you're mad at, someone you're jealous of, you're envious of. Someone you're talking behind their back. Hey, gossip, critical, you resent them. They got a raise, you didn't get the raise. They got a promotion, you didn't get the promotion. They got the man you didn't want to get. They got the last pair of shoes at Nordstrom that you wanted to get. Whoever it is, your mom from when you were little, your dad from when you were little, someone who did something terrible to you as a child, that you've been holding a burden, a grudge, anger towards, that you need to let it go. Okay, let's look at Matthew 18, verse 15. We'll start there. Jesus says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained a brother. If you lie to me, if you hurt my feelings, our inclination is they need to come to me." This is, no, I need to go to you. I need to go to you and say, you know what? You hurt me. You sinned against me, blah, 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 da, 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 da. Look at verse 21. Peter says, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How about seven times? In other words, God, is there ever a time, a limit to how many times someone can offend me and I don't have to forgive them? Is there a limit to how many times I should be patient or kind or loving? In other words, is there ever a time that I can get to in my relationship with somebody where I don't have to be Christ-like? In other words, do I have permission not to be nice? Do I have permission to gossip? Do I have permission to backbite, to be critical? Do I have permission to not tell someone the whole story or the whole truth? Do I have permission to be rude? We think we do. We think that we can be Christian, 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 but to get to a point where someone does something, you say, you know, I don't need to be Christian to you anymore. I don't mean to be nice to you anymore. Don't we? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, let me tell you why you think you do, because you do it. If you ever do it, you believe, you know what, I'm justified to doing it. And if you ever, have you ever had someone do something to you and you say, you know, I don't want to talk about them, but I'm not one to gossip, but what's that? That's sin. That's justifying it. So Peter says, how often before shall someone do something to me and or how bad to where the point I can say I don't have to forgive them anymore? Look in your notes. It says the question is there a limit to the frequency of our forgiveness towards others? Is there a limit to the frequency or degree of the forgiveness, our forgiveness towards others? Definition, forgiveness, the willingness to release someone from the responsibility of paying the debt of healing our pain. Someone hurts you, forgiving them is saying, you know what, I release you from the responsibility of taking that hurt away. God is going to take that hurt away. Think about it. Someone fires you from your job. You're mad at them. You want them to pay you back and give you your job back. You want them to pay you back by making you feel better. You want them to pay you back by healing your hurt. Forget it. Release them from that and go to God and say, God, you deal with them. What do we got next? That's forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying, I agree with what you did. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay that it, and it was right. Forgiveness says, I'm going to be okay. I remember when I got cut from the Chargers the second time. It's all right. I had to be on the team twice to get cut twice. That's the way I look at it. And Don Coryell, I'm sure most of y'all, if not all of you, know Don Coryell. He's a coach, Air Coryell. He was, and you see him on TV, looks real mean and mad. He was the sweetest man, one of the sweetest men I ever met. Never was angry ever one second the whole time I've known him, 4 years. He just looks angry. But he's a very sweet man, very nice man, very kind person. And when he cut, when he released guys, especially guys who had been with him a long time, he would cry. He was that sensitive. I mean, he was a gentle grandpa. And I remember when I got cut, it wasn't his fault, it wasn't even him who did it, but he was the head coach. And I went into my head coach, to my position coach, and, you know, talked to him, said goodbye. I was no hard feelings. My heart was gone. I was ready to leave anyway. I went to Don Coryell and prayed for him. Now, I'm losing my job, but I'm praying for him. And I remember putting my arm around him, praying for him, and after I left, he was just frozen in that position. Because it was so backwards that I, who just lost my job, didn't know what I was going to do, praying for him, because God had released me. God had released me from just carrying a grudge. I had no grudge. I knew it was God's will at that point. And so many times stuff happens in your life, you want someone to pay you back, realize it's between you and God. God is moving you on. Or God is doing something in your life, and you can't hold people responsible to do something in your heart, what God wants to do in your heart, or what you want God to do in your heart. So forgiveness is saying, you know what? I release you from fixing me. Now, it doesn't mean I have to be your friend. Because if someone's evil, doesn't mean you have to be their friend. Doesn't mean you have to like them. Doesn't mean you approve what they did. But no longer am I going to be preoccupied with you making this right. That's forgiveness. Look what it says, new question. How often should I release someone from the responsibility of healing my pain? That's the question. How many times? Here's something for you to think about. How often do you want God to free you from the obligation of Jesus' pain on the cross? In other words, when you sin, your sin nailed Jesus to the cross. How often or how much of your sin do you want God to forgive you of? In other words, is it okay if God stops forgiving you after 1,000 sins? 20 sins? No, you want it all. You want to live till you're 150 years old and still messing up and God still to forgive you. Don't you say amen if you're Jew? I'm trying. You do. Okay, let's read the story. God gives us an example. It says, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus says, I do not say to you 7 times, but up to 70 times 7, 490. Now, is anyone going to count the 490? No, that means it'll never end. I can count the 490. Then it says in verse 23, tells a parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. A talent was 93 pounds, and if it was gold, it was about $15 million. It must be nice to have $15 million to have lent somebody. And as he went, he was not, but as he was not able to pay, his master, the king, commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Many times they would sell people into slavery, which was really, they were selling them into servanthood, and they would pay off their debt through working. You ever seen the Old Testament? They buy and sell people because they're paying off a debt many times. Verse 26, therefore the servant fell down before his master, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Wow. Now, this is part one of the parable, but this part is illustrating God's forgiveness of our sins. Look in your notes. The doom of sin's debt. One, sin is against a superior. This is a servant who sinned against his king. When you sin against the King of Kings. You can lie to me, but you sin against God. You can steal from me, but your sin is against God because God made the rule. God made the rule. Your sin is against him. It offends him. It nailed his son to the cross. Your sin and my sin is against the superior. Number two, there is an account of sin. This guy had 10,000 talents is weighed out. Your sin and my sin, if we were to weigh it, I don't know if you ever see Lady Justice. She's on all the courthouses. She has scales in her hands. They call her Lady Justice. If you ever notice, Lady Justice has a blindfold on her face because she's trying to be impartial. Sin is sin, and right is right, and wrong is wrong. I don't want to know who you are, how much money you have. I just want to be impartial as possible. Put your wrong on this scale and your good on this scale. Let's see where you weigh out. That's what she's doing. If you put your wrong on the scale, it will go boom. And they'd be able to weigh it. Look at the verse in your notes, Psalm 40, verse 12. It says, for innumerable evils have surrounded me, and my iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Have you ever had a bad day? And the devil starts showing you all the mistakes you've made in your life. Or he shows you all the areas of your life that exist today and shows you what you did wrong to make it that way. You failed at that. You failed at that. You did that wrong. You made a bad decision there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it just spirals down and down. And then after that, and then everything goes wrong after that. You drive behind someone real slow. Someone cuts in front of you at the line. You know, and everything's bad. The mall's crowded and you can't buy what you want. And they have what you want, but the wrong stuff. Everything's wrong. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, many times when God starts showing you your faults and your sins and you start getting overwhelmed with it, you start feeling like you're just a failure, those conditions that the devil's making you feel like a failure for are always there. In other words, he may be right. You may have made a wrong decision. You may have not done as good a job in raising your kids or being an employer or an employee. You may not have done as good a job at your work. Yeah, that may be true. But what God does is that God protects you from seeing your sin for what it really is. In other words, the only reason you can walk around all happy like Andy Gumb, hi, how you doing? Praise the Lord. Amidst all this stuff in your life, you know, you see people happy all the time, but if you sit down and talk to them, I mean, they got their hair all did up and they got their clothes and they look all nice. But if you sit them down, there are many people who on the outside look very good, but on the inside they just toe up from the flow up. And the only reason that they can be somewhat happy and at peace is because God has protected you from looking and seeing your sin for what it really is. Your sin killed his son. It's God. So not only does he forgive you, he protects you from seeing it for what you really are. And it says here, this guy says, my sin, he's in one of those times, is more than the hairs of my head. Look at all the stuff I've done wrong. I'm a failure of a person. I'm a failure of a dad, a mom, a friend, an employee. I'm just a failure. Our sin is many and is an account. Then it says, repayment is mandatory. The penalty of sin is death. You will die. Bottom line, you will pay for your sin. There's no question. The Bible says all have sinned, and the penalty is death. Number four, once you are sold into sin, you will be owned by the penalty. You want to smoke a little weed? Go home and hit the bottle a little bit. Got a little girly girl over here. A little fake Joe Millionaire over here. For the same person. You're going to pay the price. You're going to be owned. It's called addiction. You become a slave to sin. Galatians 6 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man or woman sows, that they will reap. If you plant corn, you will grow corn. If you plant tomatoes, you will grow tomatoes. If you plant or sow sin, you will grow death. You gossip, you reap gossip. You backbite, you reap backbite. You hate, your anger, you're going to get it back. So if you sow sin, you reap death. You sow righteousness and love, you reap life. So if you're going to live in that world of unforgiveness, guess what? You're going to live in a world of being unforgiven. You're going to see that in a minute. Whatever you sow, you reap. That's sin's doom. Number five, we are unable to pay. You cannot pay for your sin and live. In other words, if you want to pay for your own sin, you will die and go to hell. That's your payment. So you can't get free by paying. You end up paying for the rest of your life, for eternity in hell. You cannot set yourself free. Psalm 49:6, it says, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly. The redemption of your soul, the only one who could pay that price is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. You cannot go to God with anything you have, anything you are, anything you've done, and say, God, please forgive me, here I am. He says, nope, sorry, hell. Can't. So what he's saying here is that this guy comes and says, Master, I have $50 million debt. You know what? Let me, please. He says, okay, I forgive you, because I know you ain't going to pay me back. Number six, the master or the king's forgiveness is based solely on his mercy. I was talking, my wife and I were laying on our bed talking to our daughter last night. She's 17. Talking to her about some stuff. And then I had to lay her head down on my lap and I was praying for her, rubbing her head. And I was telling my wife how I had a dream the night before of when she was a little baby. And I was, you know, and all dads do this, you put your mouth on their neck and blow and make a boom and they laugh. And I had a dream I was doing that. And now she's this long. And I remember when she was a kid, all my kids were kids. I remember when they were kids. I think that's what I was trying to say. That you do all this stuff for them. You play with them. You buy them clothes. You buy them food. You take care of them. Buy them a car seat. You know, all that stuff. But what do they ever do for you? Now, hang with me now. The reason you do that is because you love them. They don't need to do anything for you. I remember one time my grandfather died, and something happened. I thought my dad was going to die. And I started thinking about all he did for me as a little kid, and I never did anything back. I never said thank you. I said, there's no way he can leave without me telling him thank you. I started thinking of all the stuff he did, and it was like, if you think about it from a far removed situation, this man is doing all these nice things for this kid. Why? Just because he loved him. When God forgives you, he forgives you just because he loves you. Not because of anything you do. We think we earn it. We think we could pay him back. He loves you more than you think. Even in our arrogance and pride that we think, well, here's all I got. God says, no, that's like this much. You ain't all that. He says, I love you this much, and it's because that's who I am. And when this king forgave his servant, it was because of the king's compassion. And when God forgives you, it's because of his compassion. It's not because you deserve it. And if today you need to ask God to forgive you, you need to be confident that he just wants to forgive you. And you'll never understand why. And if you think, I don't deserve it, you're right. He just does. He loves you. And now look at what happens in the next part. Turn your lesson plan over. I think I heard many of you already do that. Let's read verse 28. The same servant who was forgiven, 15 million. That same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, you can go free. No, he says, you owe me, man. Where's my 100 denarii? And so his fellow servant fell down his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he would not, and threw him in prison until he should pay him. So another servant saw what he had been done and was grieved and came and told the master all that happened. Look in your lesson plan. Look in your notes. Unforgiveness is your unwillingness to release someone from the responsibility of healing your pain. I do not want to release you. You will pay me back. You will make my life right. You will fix my situation. You will undo everything you did. That's us. I mean, that's unforgiveness. Imagine if God had that attitude towards us. You will take my son off the cross and give him his life back. We can never do that. Number one, we often refuse to forgive sins smaller than the ones for which we want forgiveness. The first guy, he owed 10,000 talents, 15 million. The second guy owed 100 denarii, $15. So he got forgiven all this, and he wouldn't forgive this. And when you point the finger at someone and judge somebody and critical of somebody and hate somebody and you're jealous of somebody, guess what? Not only are their four fingers pointing back at you, but often what you're pointing the finger about, most of the time ain't even true, and it's not nearly the sin in your own heart. Because just doing this is sinful. Look at you, da-da-da, judging people, da-da-da, saying stuff. You know when you speak gossip, it's from the overflow of your heart? That means there's a whole much more left in here. You ever fill up a little cup of water and the overflow comes? Well, that's the overflow is all that you see. But really what's in the cup is really what's in your heart. Now, you may have a Dixie cup full of pain or sin, or you may have a 50-gallon drum. But all you speak is the overflow. Next, we cannot know the degree of our own sin. You have no idea. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Our heart wants to sin. It wants to gossip. We have a natural fleshly, carnal, sinful desire to pull other people down and to find something negative in other people. We do. Do you agree? Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, it may not be like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. But we are like, how you doing, how you doing, how you doing? Oh, she just thinks she, I just can't stand that person. This is how we are. This is how we are. We don't even know how much evil that's coming from. We have no idea. And so when we ask God to forgive us, we have no idea what we're asking. Richard Pryor was playing a preacher in a movie once. That's funny in of itself. And he was doing a healing service. $2. You can get any ailment healed. $2, $2, come up with $2. So people coming up, oh, I got a headache. Oh, $2. He's taking the money. Oh, he be healed, brother. And they would go down. Oh, I got an ankle injury. Take the $2. Be healed. He would pray for him. It was hilarious. People coming up, all these, I got a rash. My eye hurts. And then one guy had one leg. He comes running up with claim, Pastor, I want to run, I want to dance, I want to jump. He goes, how? You're asking an awful lot for $2. So you got to come back Friday for the deluxe healing service. Pay more money. A lot of times saying, God, heal me, and we don't even know how much we're asking. It's no big deal. Heal me, but get that person. He said, wait a minute, do you have any idea how much sin you have? Do you have any idea how sinful you are? We have no idea. But yet, when someone comes against us with something little, we want to grab them by the throat and throw them in prison. And we want to tell everybody else why they need to be in prison. It says, we are more critical of the sins of others than our own. Look at verse 32 and 33. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you begged me. So should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? We often forget the mercy expressed to us when we beg for mercy. Now, how is your unforgiveness realized? Jealousy? Someone has something you want. They've wronged you. You're mad at them. And many times you could be even unforgiving to people that never even did anything to you. You just created it in your mind. How many of you don't, you have to raise your hand, but how many of you don't like people on TV that you don't even know? How many of you don't like Dennis Rodman? You can't stand him. You don't even know him. Never met him. Have no idea about his life. Oh, he's different. There's no question he's different. With capital letters. What does that mean? What do you do to you? You're jealous of people? Resentment? You're critical? Your way of getting back at them and your way of getting them to repaying you is for you to pull them down. It makes you feel good to tear them down. Oh, you got to let that go, cowboy. You got to let that go. Anger, backbiting, a desire for revenge. This stuff is evil. And it's in all of our hearts. Oh, man, I can't wait. You know what they did? Can you believe it? They called themselves a Christian. He calls himself a pastor. Can you believe that? I can't tell you. I'm never going to. And you have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. God, I'm sorry. The freedom we experience when we are forgiven is to be used to forgive others. When you ask Christ to forgive you of your sin, guess what he takes out? He not only releases you from the burden of his son's debt, but he cleanses you of unrighteousness. What does that mean? That he replaces your desire to get people back, to be jealous, to be angry, to be critical, with a desire and a freedom to love. Imagine, think of the person that you're thinking about, that you're mad at, or that you have any of these feelings or stuff like this towards that you need to release. Imagine that you had the ability today to go home, or you have a cell phone. I know y'all do because I hear him ring all the time. To get it when you leave here, to get on your cell phone before you get to your car and call them up and tell them you love them. They'd be like, oh, who is this? Breaking up. Who are you? Oh, this is Jimmy. You know, I slit your ties last week. You know, I was mad, but, you know, I'm sorry, man. You know, I'm glad it didn't go flat. My knife wasn't that sharp, but ain't that, praise the Lord, I had a dull knife, praise the Lord. But you don't know, man, I'm sorry. I forgive you. I forgive you for what you did to me to make me mad at you to slip my ties. I didn't do nothing to you. I know, but I thought you did, so I slipped your ties anyway. years ago, when I was a youth pastor, I used to go to youth parties. And I would go to parties just to hang out and see if my kids were going to the parties and just be there. Just walk around and spy on kids. So I went to this party, and it was about 300-400 little Samoan kids. I mean, Filipino kids. No such thing as little Samoan kids, little Filipino kids. It's like little giants. It's funny, my son is 13 and he's like 110 pounds. Played Pop Warner last year. And there was a kid in the stands who was 13 who was like 280 pounds. I was like, brother, how? I mean, he was just giant. Anyway, I go to this party, these little Filipino kids. Make a long story short, they want to have a fight. So all of them converge on these two kids. So me and my friends, we go into the middle of the crowd and grab the two kids at a fight and then pull them out and pull them over to the side. So we started talking to him. What are y'all fighting about?
Well, man, you know, because he stole my bike.
Okay, so they're gonna get ready to duke it out, have the thriller in Manila, in Mira Mesa. And over a bike. So I saw this one guy says,
well, you know, I thought he stole my bike. And the other kid said, I didn't steal your bike. He goes, well, I thought you did. You go, well, I didn't steal your bike. And they go, oh, all right, what's up, man?
So they get ready to have this fight over something that never happened. Over something that never happened. When God gives us forgiveness, you know what it enables us to do? He says, you know what? You lied to me. You talk behind my back. But you know what? Me and God are cool. So I'm going to pray for you. Because if you're lying and doing that kind of stuff, you probably got an issue with God. So I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to be here for you, but I forgive you. Whew. Whew. They ain't got nothing on you anymore. They'll leave you alone. When you do that to people, they leave you alone. Because sometimes people get you because they can get you. But if people can't get you, they won't get you anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? You're like little kids. I love to mess with little kids, especially little kids I don't know. Like, I'll be sitting in a banquet or something. There'd be a little kid over there with his mother, and I'll just, on his head, bam. I'll do it so that parents can see. I'm not, like, being evil. No, I'm not hurting them. I'm just going, bap. And they look at me, oh, I don't know. Bap. If the little kid just doesn't look up, I give up. I go to some other kid that I can sucker. But if he starts going, who got me, then I keep doing it. If someone's getting you, you know what? You say, listen, I'm sorry that if I offended you or did anything to get you mad at me. They're like, oh, man. They'll go away, and many times they'll become your friend. But you got to be the Christian person, the one that's walking with God to make the first step. Look at the next one. God does not, in your notes, God does not reverse his pardons, but he denies pardon to those who are unqualified. Look in your Bible, verse 34. His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do if you, each of you, do to each of you if from your heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Let me read part of the Lord's Prayer to you. Matthew 6:12. It's in your notes. And forgive us our debts or our sins in the same way, to the same degree, just as often as we forgive our debtors. Say it with me. 1, 3, 1, 2, 3. Woo! And Lord, in other words, Lord, if I only forgive half the people that wrong me, then you only forgive half my sin. If I forgive somebody and then turn back around and talk about them again, then you do the same thing to me. Woo! Woo! You don't want that, but that's the way it is. So you better start checking your brain. Man, who do I need to call up? Who do I need to release from the burden of fixing my pain? God is supposed to fix your pain. God is supposed to be your strong tower, your salvation. God is supposed to mount you up on wings of eagles. He's the one who's going to cleanse you of your unrighteousness, give you peace to pass on understanding. He's the one that's going to promote you or demote you, give you a job, give you a raise. He's the one who does that. Promotion doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from God. If I want a promotion, I go to God. Why waste my time with you? God can move you out and give me your job. I'm not going to ask you for that. Hey, can I have your job? Can you quit? Can I have your job? No, God, I want his job. Can you give me that? And he might say, no, because he's praying more than you are. We want limits to be placed on our requirements for mercy. We want limits to be placed on our requirements for mercy towards others, but not on God's requirements for mercy towards us. James 2:13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Here's a question. Do you need to repent for being unforgiving? Three things you need to do. One, admit that you're wrong. In your heart, say, you know what? Yeah. I've been jealous. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was telling them I had to confess this to somebody. And I said, man, I got to confess something to you. I got a problem with so-and-so. He said, what is it? I said, I'm jealous. I was up at 3 o'clock this morning. He kind of laughed at me like, you're jealous? Like, what are you saying? I'm jealous, man. Let me be honest with somebody. Don't laugh at me. I ain't telling you nothing no more. Admit that you're wrong. Be able to say, you know what? I'm envious. I was gossiping. I was critical. I was resentful. I was angry. All that. Next, admit your guilt. Tell the person of the sin of your heart and ask them to forgive you. Go up to somebody and say, you know what? I'm sorry. Now, here's the key when you say sorry. Number three, repentance has no defense. Repentance has no defense. What does that mean? None of this. I'm sorry I talked about you, but the reason I did it is because da, 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 da. That's not repenting. That's explaining why you did it. That's rationalization. No. You know what? I was wrong. Even though you lied to me, even though you stole my money, you ate my tuna sandwich, ate my Doritos, and you know I like Doritos, even though you did all that, I shouldn't have complained to anybody. I should have come straight to you, and I'm sorry. Let God do the rest. When you love somebody, it's like heaping burning coals in their head. What can they do? What can they do? Try it. It is so much fun. Because that burden goes, and then they start to go, well, now I got to step up. Because what can you say when someone comes to you and apologizes? Yeah, that's right. And I'm sorry. They'll run up, that's right. They'll run out, that's right. Yeah, you know, it ain't that bad. I'll buy you a tuna sandwich. I'll give you some Doritos back. I'm sorry, man. You know, matter of fact, I only ate half of it. Here's the other half. I just take a bite. Here you go. Two things. Some of y'all, maybe all of us, in here need to make a decision in our heart to forgive somebody today. Let it go. You have the freedom and the ability. The Bible says when Jesus set you free, you shall be free indeed, completely. To do everything he's called you to do in this Bible, even though it's against your nature, because we are naughty by nature. We are. We're sinful by nature. So it's against our nature. But God has given us that freedom. So you have that freedom. So make a decision today. You know what? I got to release all these people. Hopefully it's not a lot, but I got to release them. Because it's a burden. It's a ball and chain. Number two, there are some of y'all in here, and in the overflow, you need to receive God's forgiveness, his complete liberating forgiveness. And it is according to his mercy, not your righteousness, not your goodness. You say, Lord, I'm a sinner. My debt is more than $15 million. I can't pay. But you paid by dying on the cross. Please forgive me according to your mercy in this story. Wipe it clean. Cast, here's my encouragement to you, cast all your cares on him. Let it go. There's so much about forgiveness and walking with God, we don't know. But what we do know is that it's real, that it's complete. And that God today wants to set you free, completely free to be exactly who he wants you to be. Exactly who he wants you to be. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you forgive completely. We thank you, Lord, that you set us free that we may forgive others. And Lord, I pray all of us in here today would act on this message, that we would leave here today, identify the person we need to forgive. And without defense, without explanation, without rationalization, just say we are sorry. And I pray relationships will be mended, especially in families. The kids would repent to their parents, parents to their kids. And Lord, I pray for people here today who don't know you as their Savior. They need Jesus to be their Savior. They need to receive his forgiveness once and for all, that he may wipe away all your sin and the penalty thereof. So right now, if you know, yes, I have more than $15 million worth of sin and evil. I want Jesus to forgive me completely. I want you to pray with me in the privacy of your heart by faith, believing that the God of all compassion is going to have compassion on you. In the privacy of your heart, if you would like Christ to forgive you, pray, dear God, yes, I have a lot of sin. And my sin is wrong. And there's a penalty I can't pay. But I know you paid it on the cross. So, dear Jesus, please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Please accept me as your child. Please give me a new start right now, Lord. Right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you're saying, Jesus, yes, forgive me today, I want you to stand up in your seat and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Stand up. God bless you. Stay standing, please. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you're in overflow, stand up to your feet and stay standing and acknowledge Christ's forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Good. 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 Very good. God wants to cleanse you and give you a whole new start beyond what you would ask or imagine. Nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing you can do to pay him back. And the blessings he has for you are more than you deserve or ever will deserve. Just receive it. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. Good. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing, whether you're in overflow or here in the sanctuary, we're going to ask you as we welcome you to the family of God to come up out of your seat and come down here to the altar. Let's all give them a hand as they come on down. God bless you. 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 Say hello to each other. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Who's the man? Who's the man? God bless you. God bless you. There you go. God bless you. 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 Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I shake all your hands. God bless you. Here's a good thing about forgiveness. One of the many good things. You coming up? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Here's one of the many good things about forgiveness is that when God forgives us, he cleanses us of our unrighteousness. He takes away the desire to do the things we're not supposed to do. He gives us the freedom to say no to all the stuff we tried to say no to before. It does happen. It does really work. And so when this happens, you come to a point in your life where you realize I can't do it anymore, but that's just reality. None of us can do it. Amen? We can't. We're sinful. And we're, you know, once you're sold into sin, you're owned by the penalty. God has set you free. All you got to do now is obey God. That's your only, for the rest of your life, Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. And he's going to tell you stuff, little things in your life, people, things, music, that he's going to want you to change. Just do it. He's going to tell you people he wants you to make up with. You don't have to get back together with them. He's going to ask you some people to get rid of. But you don't have to hate them. Say, you know, I love you, everything. I love you. You're so cute, but bye. That's okay. He wants you all to himself. I remember when my daughter was like 5, 4 or something. She wanted to go out and spend the night in the backyard. Daddy, I want to camp outside. And I thought to myself, what if she ever said I wanted to live out there all by herself? I wouldn't let her. Because I jealously want to give her better than she can get for herself. That's what God wants. He wants to give you better than you can get for yourself. And when we try to get what's best for ourselves, we mess up. Because we don't know what's best for ourselves. And we don't know all the resources that God has for us. He has resources for you that you know not of. You want that. That's not being selfish. That's being wise. It's dumb to say, okay, God, I want to do my own thing. That's dumb. You want to do what God wants you to do. So I want to pray for y'all. And then we're going to ask, oh, there's people over there? Okay. Oh, there you go. We're going to ask all y'all from over here over to walk with that guy. And we're going to ask all y'all for over there over to walk with that guy to the left. And all y'all, y'all go home. No, we're good. A couple things. I want you to call somebody up today. Okay? You're not going to have all your words straight. All you have to know is this. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You don't have to, explanation? I was wrong. That's your explanation. I'm a sinner. That's it. That's all I know. Just do it. See what happens. Restoration takes time. Don't worry about that. Just say sorry. Get it off your back, your chest. And then I'm going to try to walk down this aisle and try to get to the door so I can shake hands. So if y'all can let me down this aisle, I appreciate it. So let's pray for them. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for being good to us. We thank you so much for being faithful. We thank you for forgiveness. Lord, we pray that their lives would never be the same. And Lord, I pray for the church. I pray millions of tons of burden would be released today as we call people and forgive them and ask to be forgiven. And we release them from the responsibility of doing something they can't do. Many of them don't even know that it's being expected of them to do it. The devil has lied to us and put so many vain imaginations in our mind and heart. Lord, we need to walk in truth. Lord, I pray people are set free today in an amazing way. I pray relationships are restored. And thank you. And we pray next week we can bring more people that they may know Jesus as their Savior. And it's his name we pray. Amen. Let's give them a hand. You walk that way.